In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is born.
Glorify Him.
We welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today on this joyous feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior. There has been in the Orthodox calendar kind of a 40-day run-up to the feast. There's this preparation that we've had. And last Sunday's gospel, if you recall, was that part where we read the genealogy of Christ. And it was really emphasizing two people, Abraham and David. And this, for this feast of the Nativity, I'm going to use the image of David to just simply allow us to focus a little bit on who is Christ. Who is the Christ that is revealed to us, born in the cave in Bethlehem? And what is it about him that we can learn from this one who is David, his forefather? And this is not an accident. And actually, the notion of the begetting of David is not something that's forgotten about once the genealogy passes over, but rather it's something that's present throughout the gospel according to St. Matthew. And so there are two aspects that I would like to speak about this today. First, as a warrior, and then as a king. You know, we're often presented with this image of the Magi as the kings, right? So it's not an accident. This notion of the royalty and the dignity, the kingdom, is something that Jesus himself would speak about a lot. So what we're celebrating is the birth of a king, a royalty, a man of royalty. And it is the king who is the king of heaven that is being revealed to us in this feast. It's interesting that you can go out and read different dissertations on who these Magi really were, and what you read, and certainly there's a lot of scholarship, but these guys were very interesting, actually. They were travelers. That's one of the things that they did. They were known to have actually traveled to the western part of the Mediterranean, yet they were based in Persia, in what is now Iran. Zoroastrian priests, they were of a priestly clan, and yet they were also kingmakers. What would happen is that the priestly clan in that region would get together, and it would be they who would be the ones to decide who would be the king, who would be the one that would rule over the local, the nation of the Zoroastrian nation. And so, naturally, these were the kinds of guys who were interested in who the king was. And so, indeed, there were prophecies in the time, in their own religion, actually, that referred to the birth of a king with certain characteristics, born of a virgin, for example. And yet, they would see in this whole journey that we hear about in Matthew's gospel, this fulfillment of everything, far beyond anything that they themselves could possibly have known. So they're looking for a king, and they knew that the king had to come from the line of David. And where was the king to be born? But where? In the house of David, which is Bethlehem. And so had they decided to discard the map, which was the star that was given to them, and gone back to the prophecy, they probably could have found Jesus as it was. But instead, the heavens sent a star. The Lord sent a star in the heavens so that they could find their way. Now, this son of David, the son of David, who would be the king, this was the one that was longed for, because what the Magi would discover was that in the Jewish prophecies, and this was the sense of the passages, was that the king was one who would fulfill the king role well. David was longed for and desired because he was a holy man. He was a one who was after God's own heart. And he was one who would also be filled with wisdom, like the son of David, who was Solomon. The Messiah, the new son of David, the new king, the one that would be the fulfillment of the kingly role, would also be one of strength and power. Who was David? But David was one who delivered Israelite people from their enemies and would bring order and godliness into the nation. I think we could use a little bit of that today, couldn't we? Where we have been scattered and have lost the focus in our own nation as to what is important, what is godly to lead us. One of the things that the Magi found was a king, all right, Herod. They went to Jerusalem, which is not far from Bethlehem, and they're looking for the king, and then so they go to the local king, and they find Herod. And what they find is an imposter, a phony, one who has the ability to make it look like he's a king and have all the trappings of royalty and all that stuff, but he's no Messiah. No, he's not one who bears within him that kingly nature, godliness, that the Jewish people would know their messianic king by. Of course, Herod wasn't even a Jew. He was an Idumean. And so he was a pretender in the worst way, self-proclaimed as king. And he had prophets, false prophets, surrounding him. You see, this was the lot that had fallen upon the Jews, is that while they were given this great promise that there would be a king to fulfill what God had promised to them as in terms of him being their king and their ruler, nevertheless, they were beset by earthly kings and fallen kings and sinful kings, even David, even Solomon, even the best of the line, not to mention Ahaz and the other ones, who did not exhibit the godliness. You see, the difference between all of those earthly kings and Jesus, the Messiah, is sin. Because sin is not to be found in the true Messiah. Jesus is holy and perfect because he was God. And because he is God, therefore, he is able to exercise a kingship and a rule which is different. It's not just simply one of power. It's not just simply one of military might. He would be the king of not war, but peace. Like Melchizedek, a priestly king. This is the kind of king that the Magi were looking for. And indeed, they would find him. They would discover him because in their own way, they were attuned to the Lord. They were attuned to their Maker. They were attuned to the Son because the Father showed them a way and a path to find the Son, the King, the fulfillment. David would be anointed by the prophets as King. Jesus, who is the Christ, the name of Christ being the Anointed One, is the King. So he then is their fulfillment and our fulfillment. And just briefly, the second aspect of this is David as the warrior. You know, we all know the story of David, raised up as a young shepherd boy, and then he learned how to use the sling. And he would, you know, I'm sure, fend off the wolves with his sling. But then he was the one who was called upon by the people to defeat Goliath and all of the enemies of the Lord, and to become, through his warrior vocation, to be the victor over the enemies of the Lord. This is an image that we don't hear about a whole lot at Christmas time, because the notion of a warrior, I mean, and peace, we want peace and love and those things. And yet, this is who David was. And let's be clear. If you look at and listen to the reading of St. Matthew's Gospel, there's a war going on. It's a war between Herod and his falsehood and his desire to dominate and rule in an earthly way versus the spiritual reign of Christ. And so we see that then later, after the Magi left, that Herod would carry out his attack to try to kill the Christ. And yet, we see here, in earthly terms, the nature of a battle. Our Messiah must be a warrior. The true king is a warrior for us. But his weapon is not the weapons of war that we know. His weapon is the weapon of peace. What is the weapon of peace in Orthodoxy? We sing this at the Feast of the Holy Cross. It is the cross itself. In order to find and to do battle as the king, to fulfill the messianic prophecy, he would have to be the warrior who defeated the enemy of God, which is not this nation or that nation or those people or the Zoroastrians, even though they're a different people, they have a false religion. That's not in and of itself the enemy. The enemy is sin. The enemy is ignorance. The enemy is pride. The enemy is anger and vengeance. Love of earthly things instead of love of God. It is the devil. Those are the enemies of the Lord. And so you see, we see this little battle going on. We see a strategy going on between the Magi and God's strategy, God's plan to find victory over the deception that is present in the mind and in the heart and in the actions of Herod. And so we should beware then, brothers and sisters, that our Lord Jesus Christ truly is for us a victor. That what is the one that is born to us today is a victor over sin. And he is a victor over your sin. You know, sin isn't just something that's sort of out there and it's like a dark cloud or something like that, and hopefully one day it'll blow away. The sin is the sin that you deal with day in and day out, and Christ has come into this world to be your victor, to be your warrior, to help you defeat sin. Notice how I said that, help you defeat sin, because he's already conquered sin. He's conquered death, but he has sent the Holy Spirit to you so that you can be the battler with him against sin in your own life, and you can be victorious in that battle. And so that is the Christ who we seek in our lives. Not just the infant child in his innocence, but a ruler over us who will lead us into the spiritual battle that will bring us victory over sin and death. What I'd like to do is conclude with a wonderful little poetic verse or two by St. Peter Christologos, who reflects on the nature of this battle and this relationship between Herod and Christ. He says, "What does this mean, that it was in the time of a very malevolent king that God descended to earth? Divinity entered into the flesh. A heavenly union occurred with an earthly body. What does this mean? How could it happen that a tyrant could then be driven out by one who was not a king? One who would free his people, however, and renew the face of the earth and restore freedom. For Herod was an apostate. He had wrongly invaded the kingdom of the Jews, taken away their liberty, profaned their holy places, disrupted the established order, and abolished whatever there was of discipline and religious worship. It was fitting, therefore, that God's own aid would come to the help of that holy nation of people without any human help. Rightly did God emancipate the race that no human hand could free. In just this way will Christ come again to undo the Antichrist, to free the world, and to restore the original land of paradise." May the Lord accomplish this holy saving work that he has come into the world to do, but it's a work that takes place in your and in my heart. May he be our king. May David's son be revealed to us as our Lord, our advocate, our warrior, our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.